If possible, I would like to introduce two monks here. Some of us have seen them, some may not. First, Longpo Santach from Thailand, 60 years old. He just arrived from Thailand about a month ago, 2 months ago, again in our special training programs to encourage Thai monks to speak English and to have to explain lifestyle out of Thailand so we can adjust the Dhamma to the different custom and culture. Next is Sayadaw Sati. Sayadaw is the Burmese title to call monk. In Thailand we call the monk as Pra. In Burma, Myanmar, you call the monk as Sayadaw Sati. Some of you met him in autumn retreat. He also born in Vietnam but ordained as a monk in Myanmar, and now he just going to be with us in Bananun, and hopefully we can have a long-term visa for him to stay. So with your permission, if you don't mind, I would like to invite both of them to give some short Dhamma talk in English for their practicing English. Is all right. So first, I'd like to invite Longpo Santach to say something. Maybe Longpo San Sen here.
Good evening, everyone. I just came from Thailand for 2 months ago, and I really feel happy in Australia. I think Australia people is a lot of people would like to understand what is Buddhism. I think maybe Buddhism, if we not stick in some religion, Buddhism is the same principle of the human. Everyone can bring lifestyle of Buddhism to use in our lifestyle and bring it to make it success in our life. I hope everyone can learn, can educate in Buddhism and bring it, go to use in your lifestyle. I'm very glad to meet everyone. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank
you.
maybe my English is not so good. If I use a wrong language, please forgive me. normally, just I say to the principle of the Buddhism is a nature law. Buddhism, the Buddha teaches us in impermanence, solemnity, and suffering. Because everything are the same, like when we born and dead, and start and stop, beginning and end. Everything is impermanent. Our life are the same, not constant. So, in the main of the Buddhism, the Buddha teach us to do the good thing and make the merit and purify our heart to become the purity of heart. The purity of heart is very important for everyone because it's a lot of positive thinking. If we have positive thinking, it's bring our life to the success of the future, because it's like the same the magnet to bring everything to our life. You can have love. Everyone loves you. Everyone come to support you. And you don't worry if everyone support you. You go to do the business. Everything complete, and everything from our mind. If our mind good enough for in the positive thinking, it doesn't seem the magnet bring everyone support you from purity of our heart. Just only you good thinking, good doing, good saying is the main principle of the Buddhism. Okay. Thank you for tonight.
Thank you.
I hope to come here again. For maybe is next month or two, next month we can choose me better than this.
Thank you. Next day, the state, let's see.
Good evening. Welcome to everyone in this room. My name is Sati. Vietnamese name is Tu Van Bea. And this evening I have the introduce the Venerable Sayado. And when I come to the Sanatharam Monastery, I used to have for me a lot, and I learn from him a lot, because he very rich monk and he very famous monk too. So this evening I would like to talk about the Buddha teaching which topics Noble's iPhone pack. Thank you. Sawasdee. Khun sabai di lư.
Ni hao ma.
The Buddha teaching many subjects, many topics for to teach for the human being, and in many topics there are the topics about the Noble Eightfold Path. And how about the Noble Eightfold Path? That is the right view or right understanding to right thoughts with the right speak for the right action five the right there is lifestyle or the livelihood, and six lies efforts, and seventh is right mindfulness, and eight is right concentration. Now I may explain the short and the simply about the meaning the Noble Eightfold Path is. Right, how about the right view or right understanding? As you may know, when we practice to the Buddha Dhamma or we study Buddha Dhamma, at the first we know how about the Fourth Noble Truth, or we know how about the three karma. That is the first step. And the second step is we have to know clearly about the Noble Eightfold Path too. The right view, that means we have to look or we have to know clearly about the everything in our activity every day. Because when we have to the right view, we may have to the right, we have to the right action, and we have to right the thinking, and we don't, we have to avoid the wrong will and the wrong understanding. This is very useful for our life. Two is the right thought. Thought, that is the thinking in our mind. If we have the wrong thinking, it's a very, very big problem for our life. Because when you think something wrong, we may make harmful for not only our body, but to maybe we have to the harmful for everyone too. And three is the right speak. You know, in three karmas, there are the very imposed by the body karmas and the speak karma and the touch karma. When we have the body karma, only the two, only the three evil, but in the touch karma, there are the four evil. So we have to touch very, very clearly everything, every action, every happen, occur in our life. When we have the good thoughts, right thoughts, we have don't have any mistake. And for the right action, how about the right action? Action that we have to doing, we have to ask something, have to exactly correctly. If we do something wrong, is we may to help to the evil or to the bad deed is not very good for our life, and someone we may to make harmful for a other one too. And the five, that is the livelihood or right time. Livelihood and right time, lifetime. That means we have to the good job, how about job for our life. The monk and nun, our life dependent on the donator. But you are a layman or laywoman, we have to do many things. We have to do many duty, and we have to help for in the body and the family, even in the monk or nun too. So the duty very important in your life. If you don't have the good job, we have to could not to choose the good job. We only choose, we choose the wrong job. For example, we buy the alcohol, you buy the opium, or you have something to do untrue in the rule in the society too. On those, we could not to accept to incite them to buy what you buy to them. But when we do it, someone to buy something you buy to make you have to something wrong or something to don't understand clearly, or we have to make the wrong thinking by the alcohol or the opium too. Sick, the wheels, the right, some bright apples. Bright apples does make us not only the monk or nun, we have to try to do on the phone, we have to the phone out, and we have the target, we have to come there. We try to overcome to the problem in the life. So right is force, very, very important for our life. And we have to believe the Buddha teaching very true, very exactly, and very useful for our life too. And seven is rise mindfulness. What is mindfulness? Mindfulness, that is we have to thinking, we keep in our mind every time, every day, everywhere, every time, have to, we have to combine the mind in the true point, and we think, we keep our mindfulness for every time and everywhere. And at least, the finally is the act is the rise of concentration. You may look, this is the Venerable, he very calmly, he very wisdom, and he very compassion. What reason he have to is? Because he used to practice concentration. So concentration is the last way of the Noble Eightfold Path, very important. My English not very well. I could not to have the come to the classroom to study, have the basic grammar, pronunciation lesson. I only teach myself one when I childhood in Vietnam have the heavy war, very serious war. There is no school, no teacher. I have to teach myself, and I have to learn from my friend. So I think my English have many mistakes. Please forgive for me. Thank you so much, and I hope see you later. Thank you.
Thank you. Cảm ơn nhiều lắm. Thank you, Sayed. I hope both of you feel inspired by our two senior monks. Sayed is 79 years old. And she said that during the Vietnam War, no school, no teacher, so he studied himself. Until now, he can speak, he can read English, and every day he learn English, and a few times a week we have volunteer teachers to teach them. And Longpo Santhach, 60 years old, again, never speak English in Thailand, so try to study English every day. So I hope you will be inspired, even 60 years old, 79 years old, still keen to study and don't want to stop. So education is a whole lifetime experience. Never be too late to learn, except it may take longer time. But at least we can see that both of them are mature in the worldly life. They already experienced family life. They already have family at home. They are father in their own families. They know duties, responsibilities. They have seen a lot of worldly entertainments. They laugh, have fun, and they cry with tears. So because of this, worldly experience are quite mature, so now both of them are stable, and they aim directly into inner peace in the Dhamma. So that is how that spiritual practice in Buddhist teachings need to have that kind of very strong foundation. That means experience the world wisely. It doesn't mean that you have to be old or you have to go all around the world to experience the world. Some little people, young people in the time of the Buddha, 7 years old, boy and girl, 18, 11 men already. How can they experience the world? because of wisdom. We learn the world wisely. Don't need to follow someone in order to learn it. For example, someone said that if you'd like to know the disadvantage or the bad effects of marijuana, then I have to take marijuana. Not necessarily to mean like that. You just observe what people react after they're taking the drug and be learned. So that is how we say that learn the world wisely so we can be mature in our mind. So both of them are really inspiring monks for me and for all the young monks to come in the future, that they have no excuse because both of them not only study English, the Dhamma, they work very hard. In the past 4 days, they're chopping the firewood non-stop from morning to evening. Because last weekend we have a big group, 50 people in the weekend retreat, and it's very windy. I heard Sydney canceled many flights, correct? Mm-hmm. On that weekend, freezing cold in Bangalore, -2. So we could not sit meditation. Sorry, we could not walk meditation at all. Too cold. So leading by 79 years old monk, we do jogging meditation to keep warm. Sitting in the library where you sat there, the cold wind came in. Keep on burning the firewood, nail feel warm, freezing cold the whole places. So they kindly, in the past 4 days, because last week we run out of firewood, so we chop a lot of firewood. Because we went down to the valley, like last year, 2 years ago, when the Yinabats came, went down to the valley, carried a big log of firewood in order to make sure everyone feel warm. So they're really inspiring. Never complain, just really can't wake up in the morning because of pain in the back, pain in the knees, the body aging already. So come back to our topic today, conquering the enemies of the mind. Can I just use something to compare? Why we call it as enemy? Maybe because they're not that really pleasant. And the enemy always means unhappiness. When they come, they'll be happy. So that's why we don't call them as friends. When we call friends, we like to keep them close to our hearts. When they come enemy, they'll be not come back. In Xinjiang province, in Siberia, Mongolia, we have big problem with the sand dune. Global, what do you call, climate change, global warming problem that happens in this world since the world started, it never stopped. However, some civilization disappear because a lot of sand dune, a lot of sand dune. Swallow the whole town, the whole city, the whole civilization. So how we can protect? If the sand dunes is our friend, we will come, let's come all the same. But they come with unhappiness. So I saw some documentary, very brief, a few people start to fight against this enemy of civilization, not by rifle, not by nuclear missile, not by bomb, but they slowly fight against this enemy literally. They slowly planting small trees. They slowly build up the garden in order to stop the sand dune. So strategy, plan carefully, eventually you have beautiful green piece of land together with the flow of water. Life begins again. You can have people stay together in this town with little baby coming inside. With a kangaroo hopping, with the wombat falling. So for me, I think this is a good example to talk about conquering the enemies in the mind. We are going to conquer the sand dune, the expansion of the sand because of this climate change. But they learn very well. Instead of nuclear bomb into the sand dune, shoot more missiles into the sand dune, and then M16 AK shoot the sand dune to stop them. They do something very opposite direction. Very opposite. Because when people use an automatic rifle, they do it with a negative mind. Place the nuclear, put the bottle a nuclear missile with so negative thought. But in order to do like that, you can't plant a tree with angry mind. That tree will be dead instantly. In Thailand, there's some tradition quite tricky. The tradition is that when you start to have some plantation, for example, mango, you always invite some mother who have a lot of children to plant the first mango tree. Have you heard that? In Thailand, they always observe and they look someone who do gardening very well and have very beautiful fruit, beautiful outcome from the crops. They invite the person to plant the first tree. They call mưa yên, cool hand. Cool hand, not hot hand. Because you plant with your love, the tree grows beautifully. So it's something to do with very positive parts of the mind. So we could deal our own problems, anger, greed, hatred. We can call them as poisons. But we don't want to use that machine gun to shoot them all off because we cannot. So we have to turn around. Because if you think that the enemy, so you never feel secure in our life, that we have enemy in our mind all the time, and we try to do something to protect the enemy. But if you think in the opposite direction, that you're going to plant a garden in your life, and the purpose of the garden is to block the expansion of this dry sand dune, that's going to be very difficult for our life. So let us say that there are processes in Buddhist teachings, plus, minus, plus. I observe those brave people along the desert, the sand dune, who plant the trees against the expansion of this dry land. Almost no hope, but they keep on doing. Of course, several have very positive thought against that nature. Very little water, plant direct into the sand. So they must start with right understanding. What kind of plan need to be put first? You can't put rhododendron or what you call hydrangea straight into the sand. It's dead immediately. So they must start with right understanding, samatiti. What kind of plan that can survive and provide something helpful for the next generation to come? So we can see that those people, smiling faces, fight against that very dry nature. I put a symbol plus in the very first place, that in order to stop the expansion of these negative thoughts, negative actions in life, we need to start with first the practice of loving kindness, generosity. That is very opposite to the dryness of the land. When people are greedy, when people are so angry, they're so dry of love in their heart. That is why they are greedy. That's why they are really angry. They want to have something. So when we practice more metta, loving kindness, generosity in our mind, it's like we add water into the dry land. So even as a monk, we still practice generosity, loving kindness and compassion. We can't offer food, but as I told you, they work very hard. Sayadaw, every morning after breakfast, he will go to clean all around the monastery. Longpa Santaj will always go to help any kinds of work. As we say, cleaning, building, chopping the firewood, their compassion, loving kindness for people to come and learn the Dhamma. So every day we practice loving kindness in this way. So we also can find some way to practice in our university life. Every morning when you wake up, practice some loving kindness. For example, think positively. Today, may all the whole wake up in the morning, may all the whole university students be happy. May the whole world be happy. And then worry about the exam next. So wake up early morning and think beautifully, positively first. Wake up in the morning, say good morning to your roommate, correct? Apartment mate, whatever. Say hello, good morning, how are you? Did you sleep well last night? Start the conversation with loving kindness. Cook yourself breakfast or run to the fast food with your loving kindness. Eat it, loving kindness. So you have more energy to study. Drink it with loving kindness so we can do beautiful things in the world. Go to study in order to know, in order to have some knowledge, so we can make for a living and create some nice thing to the world. We can think positively in this way. Cost nothing. Smiling in the first thing in the morning is the expression of love and care. Talk nicely, beautifully is a speech of loving kindness. Action, you can do it every day. So why not practice metta, loving kindness, compassion every day in the morning as much as possible. We don't need to say that I have to go to the temple and make donation. It's called good karma. Actually, the university is the monastery itself. The university is the monastery itself. We practice a lot of good karma here. Talk nice to your friends. Be helpful to your friends. So this is how we add in order to remove that dryness of the world. We add that positive feelings, positive energy, love and care. Something that we don't know, don't stop ourselves. I don't know how to do it. If you have loving kindness, we become like Bodhisattva with 1,000 arms. Have you seen the Kunyin statue with 1,000 arms? That is the spiritual translation, is that a Bodhisattva, a person with compassion, can do anything. Anything that can help people to be out of trouble, suffering. So the 1,000 arms represent that many different talents, knowledge. And of course, no one born with talent, no one born with that knowledge. We learn. Longpa Santat is another inspiring example. He's 60 years old. He did not do some handiwork before being a monk. So when he came to Bananoon, he don't mind to learn. He never operated forklift before. He learned how to use forklift in Bananoon just 2 months ago. He never operated the tipper truck. Now he learned to drive the tipper truck, even though he banged into some trees and break some things. When you go to the monastery and see something broken, most of the time done by monks. Because we are not professional. We try to be like Guanyin Bodhisattva, 1,000 arms. Every time we dig the ground to for the gardening, we always cut the water pipes or cut the electrical cable all the time. Yeah, that is a monk. So he's inspiring that he said, teach me how to do it. Teach me how to do this. Teach me how to do that. That is the characteristics of compassion, Bodhisattva. Learn to do it not for himself, but for the benefit of others. So this is what we need to add. Because if we don't add into our life, no one can add into it. A life become empty. Life without loving kindness and compassion is empty and so dry. That's how the sand dune slowly swallowing that part in our life. So add more generosity, loving kindness, compassion in every day. And it's quite surprisingly, when we do it more often, it becomes a new habit, the nature. That we smiling, 3 days ago, very difficult to smile. 3 days later, smiling is not that difficult anymore. And until it becomes habit, that can smile without even thinking. So we try to speak positively. In the first few days, quite difficult. But few days later, it's not that difficult to speak positively. Because things can change. And that is what we say we can add in this value by repeated practice more often until become the habit of being generous, being friendly, humble, gentle. So we add more value already. The second part, I put that minus symbol that we have to cut down, have to reduce. And that is our old habit of harming others, hurting others. That's what we need to learn. And our friends are the best mirror to respond. Because if we lose many friends, that means that's something that we need to reduce. Like we used to have a lot of friends, now only 2 left. Why? Maybe something about what we say. Maybe something about what we did. And people can't take it anymore. Because we may act so violently. Or we say something so badly, and the people can't take it anymore. So we need to reduce them. And that is how we call self-discipline. Harming actions, harming speech. Try to reduce them. And how we can reduce them? Of course, support by the very first practice of loving kindness, compassion, generosity that we try to add on. So we intend not to repeat it, not to do it like that again and again. Learn from experience, even self-discipline as promising oneself. Discipline oneself, not to be that lazy, not to be that careless, not to use a harsh word. So I think that with the willpower, like Sayadaw, 29 years old, born in Vietnamese culture, Mahayanist tradition, trained become monk in Theravada tradition. It is very difficult. But 79 years old, try with the power of effort. Used to do like that, now try to change. Used to do like that, now try to change. So 79 years old, effort still 100% full scale. Effort to change and it will change. Certain actions, certain activities that we get used to because we're so slack. Now we empower ourselves not to repeat it. We always say the root word, now we try not to say it. So friends are good mirrors. Friends are good support. Listen to Dhamma talk, associate with good friends are blessings in the discourse on how to create good fortune by the Buddha. So that can help to cut down our harmful behavior, harmful actions. The next one, plus again, this is what we call bhavana. So the first plus is dana. The second one minus is a sila. And third one called bhavana that we have to add in, because nobody can put in these qualities. So the third plus, bhavana, some English may call as translation, meditation. Sayadasthi and Longpo Santhash mentioned earlier that Noble Eightfold Path, the first one is samatiti, right understanding. That is what we need to add on. So we practice meditation. Meditation in order to first plus calmness into our life. Second, add more wisdom. So when we are not calm, it's very difficult to stop the expansion of that sand dune. So we practice to gain calmness of mind by practice more sati, mindfulness. Regularly, every day, we try to practice mindfulness, and we know that University of New South Wales is called University of New South Wales Monastery. How's about that? I'm going to do a new sign and put in tomorrow morning. University of New South Wales Monastery. Every day, meditation. Curriculum is mindfulness first. So we learn to breathe in and breathe out every day. Practice, come to university is to come to practice mindfulness. Breathe in and breathe out mindfully. So this technique is called universal technique that we can do in the lecture room, walk from this lecture room to another lecture room. We do walking meditation. Correct? We do walking meditation between classroom all the time. Don't you know? Yeah, this is the policy of university. Because you sit 1 hour meditation, then you have to go out walking meditation and sit another 1 hour meditation. So every time walk from one classroom to another room, practice walking meditation mindfully. Come into the lecture room, breathe in and out, practice meditation regularly. Go to play a sport, it's like Tai Chi exercise, breathe in and out mindfully. And lunchtime is your eating meditation. You know, like you eat lunch mindfully. So the whole day in university is the whole day of the retreat. Practice mindfulness all the time, constantly. So this is how we need to equip ourselves this technique of regularly maintain this mindfulness to watch the flow of breath. And if you don't add into the value of life, no one can add in for yourself. So we need to put the effort, add in, put in. Our life is so active and so beneficial. If we add more mindfulness into it, it will change to be much better. Just breathe in and out. Things seem to be difficult studying. Exam coming. I just talked to Peter. Exam coming for some of us. So in the beginning of the year, everything is so happy. When exam coming, it's become suffering. Now, how we can change this suffering atmosphere, stressful atmosphere, challenging atmosphere? Just breathe in and out, studying. Breathing in and out, present in front of the classroom. Breathing in and out, it can help our study from unhappy study to be a very creative one. So we call the practice of mindfulness. Then it lead to calmness or samadhi naturally. We don't need to look for calmness of mind. It comes when mindfulness is here. Naturally, it's like when we have enough green in the paddock, the moisture will bring cloud of rain, comes naturally. So practice more mindfulness, calmness of mind will come. But we also spend time to make it happen. So after study in the university finish, go back to our home, to our apartment, do whatever we need to do and spare half an hour or 15 minutes and just sit quietly, breathe in and breathe out. No need to be 1 hour. 15 minutes is good enough for students' life like you all. Just 15 minutes, just sit down, put everything down there and breathe in and out. Even though you fall into sleep during that time, still better than nothing. Still better than nothing. Every time meditation, you see your roommate like this. Still better than nothing, correct? Still better than watch the TV for 3 hours. 3 hours watch the movie. But 15 minutes, better than nothing. Because the mind will slowly cope and build up that strength of mindfulness, effort, and calmness of mind. So we need some certain level of calmness of mind to make the mind calm down. Because life in the city like this is so confronting. It's very different from life in Bananoon. In Bananoon, every day we see more wombats than people. Every day we have visited wombat more than visiting human beings. Every day we sometimes you heard the monk talk to somebody. Talk to wombat. Why you come too early? Don't you have enough? Cannot to eat? We talk to wombat kangaroo more than talk to people. And wombat kangaroo, they are quite, what they call, direct and clear. I just want carrot. Don't want anything. Just want carrot and be happy. No trick. But life in city is very confronting. People don't want carrot. Wombat in the monastery complain, give them carrot, they're quiet. But in city bus, if someone complains, give them carrot. So life in the city is more confronting. And that's how we need that calmness of mind to keep calm. Because calmness of mind is like an oasis in life. It produces that joy, refresh feeling, refresh happiness every time the mind is calm. Because the calmness of mind is a projection that the mind not swing to the past, not swing to the future in the center. Or let's say that the mind is protect, not to be pushed, not to be pulled. And when the mind is protected in a safe zone, safe area, or we call quarantine the mind, no one can interfere the mind. So the mind is calm and relaxed. We need that kind of feeling every day. Every day, if possible, find some time for the mind to be quiet, to relax, to be free from past, to be free from the future. Because it gives us a lot of energy and gives us a lot of inner happiness. So every day if we can do like that, so we feel that life is not so struggling. Otherwise, if we keep on doing our activities every day, without this fountain or spring of life inside here, it can be very difficult. Very difficult because watching movie is happy, but not that happy when the movie finished. The problem is still there. Listen to music, happy, temporarily, turn off music, feeling gone. So we need something to replace that, and that is called calmness of mind itself. that produce higher level of joy and higher level of energy than that entertainment. But that's still not enough. That plus symbol will include vipassana meditation too. No one can give vipassana meditation to us. No one can add except ourselves that we can include it. We can put that one as a plus in our life. And that is to spend time to reflect. Vipassana is about seeing clear, seeing things clear, so we can gain wisdom. If we don't see clear, we don't understand. If we see it so clear, then understanding will happen. And it's quite interesting, when understanding happens, it will never be blurred again. That is the characteristics of Buddhist teaching, or the Buddhist practice of right understanding. Once we understood, it never go back to be misunderstanding. It never go to where. So that is how we try to add or to increase from calmness of myself, then go higher level of understanding life. Understanding this body is basic that people should not ignore because it is very easy. It's obviously clear. Reflect on change of body if possible. Even though some people may feel that it's not that inspiring, not that welcoming to look at gray hair, wrinkled skin, but it's not too bad if we kindly go on and observe the other thing. And if you don't really feel too ugly to look at your gray hair, wrinkled skin, and if you look at the gray hair, wrinkled skin, and the mind can detach from expectation attachment and feel calm, then use it. But if you reflect on gray hair, wrinkled skin, and start to be depressed, then stop, don't use it. Because there are the other tools for vipassana. But for the very simple one is body. Look at the gray hair, look at the wrinkled skin, reflect on change of this body and see how it goes. Most people, some people may feel that helps a lot to calm down their own expectation attachment. Now move to the next object. The next object or the next subject of vipassana meditation, look at feelings. Now much more interesting. The feeling, in particular, happy feeling. So we're going to use vipassana meditation to observe the true nature of happy feeling. So let us focus on only positive or pleasant feeling. We don't need to focus on the negative feelings. We can do if we like to, but if we have choice, better focus on happy feeling. Because naturally we attach to happy feeling and we expect more happy feeling to come. And we don't want happy feeling to disappear. So we spend a lot of time, energy for happiness. And that's how we put happiness as priority for us to study and to gain understanding. Now the problem is that how we can make happiness happen. In the worldly way, we have to spend money to make it happen. But we know that we have limited budget. We can't spend a lot of money to study happiness all the time. Sometimes when we travel overseas, we try. For example, the cost of living in Thailand is much cheaper than in Australia. So we save some money and sometimes we travel and our research team, Kim, let us try the happiness of Thailand. Now we book her and some friends in a 5-star resort in Chiang Mai. It's so beautiful. We know the happiness of the 5-star resort, but we know we can afford only a few days. And that's, we know already the taste of happiness five-star resort. Sometimes we travel to France or to Italy. Beautiful, nice, but only a few days. Then we have no more money left. So before we get enlightened, we gone bankruptcy. As Pamana says, study happy feeling, study happiness. I borrow a lot of money from the bank, still not enlightened yet. So why not produce our own happiness? And that is how we start to breathe in and breathe out. Because we know that as mindful breathing in and out, and the mind is calm, it produces itself happy feeling and high level, more powerful than just entertainment. It's very subtle but very powerful. So now we spend time to study happiness every time we breathe in and breathe out. If it's not happy, doesn't matter, whatever you like to do. But whenever happy feeling comes, that is the start of Vipassana meditation. Observe the nature of happiness that rise and falls. And I love the scientific practice, because when I student, I love to experiment everything, and the Buddha encouraged us to experiment it. When happiness comes, I try to freeze it, not let that calmness disappear. Every time when I breathe in so deep, smooth, I freeze it, no stop, don't stop, not stop, keep on breathing, not stop. I almost choke to death. Cannot. That pleasant breath, smooth breath, never listen to me. But it's so pleasant, it's so nice, but it never listen to me. I breathe every day, but they never listen to me any day. As I'm breathing now, so calm, so smooth, this calm, smooth breath never listen to me too. That is surprising. And we need that surprise. We need a lot of surprise. We call as wake up call. We need a lot of wake up call. We surprised that I think that I'm breathing in, out, take it for granted, but now it never listened to me. Never listened to me. That deep, smooth, very nice breath. Don't go away, please stay here forever. Gone. Come back now, I need you, come back now. Never come back. So now that is a wake-up call to that particular deep breath, smooth breath, to that particular pleasant feeling. Now we start to understand the true nature of this kind of breath and this kind of positive feeling, that they never listen to us. Again, Buddhist teaching don't want us just to hang on the word satta or belief. Buddhist teaching not hang on faith, it relies on wisdom. So you have to question yourself many more times. When happiness happens, try, experiment it. Don't let it disappear. When the mind is calm in meditation, try, not let it change. Try and try every meditation session from now on. If you feel calm, feel nice, experiment straight away. Don't let it disappear. Don't let it change. Don't let it go away until we find out the answer. We call anatta, selfless nature, no ownership nature. And before anyone can convince us, nobody can convince us, nobody can make us come into that conclusion, nobody can tell us to accept it at all. This is very strange for the consciousness. Even our teachers love us so much, told me, Pramana, happiness is impermanent. I said, yes, thank you. But no. Correct? Even the Buddha said, happiness is not you. Yes, thank you, but nobody, because that is the nature of consciousness, stubborn 100%, 100% pure stubborn. So the consciousness never want to listen to anybody. So then the case, how can consciousness accept it? We cannot make consciousness accept it. But what we can do, as in English, saying that we bring the horse, we can only bring the horse to the water, correct? And then whether the horse will drink the water or not, it depends. But the consciousness is a wise horse. When it sees water, it will drink immediately. Or sometimes I use the word consciousness, when see the truth, will fall in love with the truth at the first sight. How many of you boyfriend and girlfriends fall in love at the first sight? Susan, Dr. Minter? No? Oh, yeah. That is an effort of loving kindness. The act of friendliness. We call persistence, perseverance, endurance. Whinging, complaining. But the nature of consciousness is like this. Once consciousness sees the truth, consciousness will fall in love with the truth at the first sight, and you cannot separate them. Because the nature of consciousness is like to see the reality, because the reality will drop ignorance. Consciousness is like house on fire. Consciousness is like someone with a fire on the head and running around. Where? I don't know who burned me, where is the fire? Run around and try to stop pain in the head. The fire is on here. But consciousness can't see the problem. Thinking, oh, fire burning my head, let's go karaoke first, dancing first, discotheque first, soccer cup, bowl cup, Melbourne cup first. Stop the fire, forgot the pain temporarily, but the fire burn here. As soon as consciousness finds something can stop the fire, wow, this is what I'm looking for. And just realize, the problem is in on top of my head, not the other places. And now that problem finished, can see total difference from unhappiness and the end of unhappiness. See dukkha and the end of dukkha. See stress and the end of stress immediately. See worry and the end of worry immediately. What happened? When things used to worry us a lot, at the same thing we see today and worry no more. We feel something big change. Used to be worry a lot with this thing. Today, no worry. That is really strange, correct? That is new experience in life. Used to see this person and get upset. Now see the same person, no more upset. That troublemaker, every time see them get really angry. Today, no anger at all. So consciousness can see this experience obviously clear instantly. Dukkha, unhappiness and the end of unhappiness happen at the same time. That is called realization of truth. And that's why consciousness loves to see the truth more often. Because when consciousness realizes the truth, worry in. Stress in, anxiety, fear in. And that is what consciousness is looking for. Don't want to go away from the truth at all. Because consciousness knows immediately that if consciousness not realize the truth, ignorance will come in. Conclude attachment, expectation, and the five start on his head. So consciousness know immediately that I cannot go into the another direction where the five will begin. I would like to be here with the truth, because the five stop, no chance for the five to start again. So this is the power of Bhavana Maya Panya, wisdom, realization of the truth. And what is the truth? The truth is impermanent, anicjang, tukkhang, unstable, anatta, selflessness, beyond direct control, no ownership. These three characteristics are called the truth in Buddhist teachings. And where are the truth? So the truth in the breath, breathing in and out, that deep smooth breath, follow the truth, impermanence, unstable, non-self. The truth is in that happy feeling, on and off, change, and beyond direct control. So only these two words, almost the top of the Dhamma. Thoughts, emotions, whatsoever, come much later. If we focus the mind on this breath and happy feeling, realize the truth of these two things. Now consciousness feels safe. Consciousness like to maintain that realization. Every time breathe in, consciousness would like to be aware that it's impermanent. Every time breathe out, consciousness like to know it's impermanent. Every time have smooth breath, consciousness like to be aware it's selfless nature. It's not belong to self. Every time happy feeling arises, consciousness like to have that awareness. It's just visiting. Every time happy feeling arises, it just visits us temporarily, not our command. Because when consciousness can translate, can see the truth, and welcome every experience with this awareness, that nature that of ignorance cannot happen. There's no room for attachment, expectation, to rise, because it's so clear, like this room, as soon as we turn on the light, there's no room for the darkness to come. So when there's no room for the darkness to come, less or no expectation, less or no attachment, and that's how that sand dune of greed, hatred, delusion have less chance to happen. Because that greed, hatred, delusion come from our own mind, come from the ignorance, come from that consciousness that use that energy to produce it, because consciousness don't know, don't understand the truth. Now consciousness understand the truth, would like to be with the truth, so the same energy that going to produce anger change to be loving kindness. The same energy that going to produce greed change to be compassion, generosity. The same energy that going to be worry, going to be understanding more of life, wisdom. So we can see the transformation that happened immediately. So it is plus if every day we can spend some time and repeat it until, if possible, as much as possible as we breathing in and out, and let consciousness focus on that impermanent nature, focus on that selfless nature, unstable nature. So this is about Vipassana meditation, is to bring consciousness to see the truth. Then the truth will react in a very positive way of liberation, because liberation, freedom, to free the mind from worry, to free the mind from stress, we cannot make the mind to do it. We need to let the mind do it by itself. We cannot ask consciousness not to be worried. Consciousness needs to see the merits of not to be worried and unhappiness of being worried. So it drops that path to be worried by itself. So let me change another name of vipassana. I would like to call it in English, vipassana is dating arrangement. Because if you like the boy to fall in love with a girl, your friend, a boy, and another lady, girl, you like both of them to fall in love with one another. And they never look at one another. They sit in separate corner of the room. They eat in different area. They take different bus. They sit in different classroom. They play different sport. So how can both of them fall in love with one another? Dating arrangement. Correct. I think Jinivat is the best. You can see the production. Susan and Minta. Sorry. and there are many more, correct? Many more husband and wife. It's a production of dating arrangement from Jinivat. So how we can bring consciousness to see the truth? There is a problem. The truth is here all the time. The breath change, feeling change, but we never see it because our consciousness is too busy with computer games, more TV, more party, more picnic, more movie. So consciousness is too busy. And the truth is like beautiful ladies there smiling, sitting, waiting there. And consciousness is like a really active and really busy boy occupied by parties, sport and friends. So never see the smiling face of that beautiful girl. So there's no eye contact, then end. So vipassana is to bring that busy consciousness to have eye contact with that beautiful lady of truth. And when eyes and eyes see one another, the third party have to walk away. Correct? When their eyes link to one another, we slowly have to go. They say that, can you leave us alone? That is how consciousness works. When consciousness sees the truth, you don't need to talk more to the consciousness. It just would like to follow that path by itself. So, in that symbol, to conquer the sand dune, plus first plus is the practice of generosity, dana, loving kindness, friendliness, speak good, do good. And every religion in the world talking about that. You don't need the Buddha to come and talk the same thing. All religions talk about being generous, be friendly, be gentle, be kind. Because that is a fundamental qualities of life. The second minus, to decrease, to reduce harmful actions, not to hurt others, not to harm others. Again, the whole world practice these virtues before the time of the Buddha. Every religion talking about no harming others, no hurting others. You don't need the Buddha to be born to talk about that discipline. But the third one is important. Bhavana, mindfulness in order to produce calmness. But again, ancient world practiced meditation before the time of the Buddha. Many Indian hermits practiced yoga meditation. Even in the Middle East, go alone in the desert and reflect and keep calm alone in the nature. It is very natural. Polynesian people who stay along Pacific Ocean, they can reflect on the water and feel calm. So the calmness, meditation, concentration, meditation is really common in the world already. But the next one that on top of this is called Vipassana meditation, that is unique, only reserved for Buddhist teaching. To realize impermanent, to realize that things never listen to us, depends on conditions. Anatta, selflessness, sunyata, voidness of direct control. That is the pure characteristic of Buddhist teaching. that we help to change the consciousness. Dana, generosity cannot change consciousness. Sila, self-discipline, not harming others, cannot change consciousness. Samadhi, calmness of mind, cannot. Only the truth, realization of the truth, you change consciousness. So it's called awakening consciousness. So when consciousness is awakening, realizing impermanence of non-self, does not want to form attachment expectation. So that's how these three poisons, anger cannot happen. Hatred, greed, or delusion, they cannot happen because there's no room for them to come. So looking here, instead of conquering, fighting enemies within with aggressive power machine gun bomb, we just plant a garden. More garden, then less greed. More garden, less anger. More garden, less worry. So this is the very good example of how people can stop the sand dune expansion and reclaim the sand to be the green place for living. Kangaroo hopping, wombat coming back, so life begins again. Happiness return, we call inner peace. Any question? Yes.
And how things don't stay the same. But what? So then, does this not apply or apply to when consciousness meets the tree? So, as in, does impermanence then also apply to when consciousness meets the tree, or is that permanent?
Correct. For example, consciousness need to the process of we call fully awakening. The process of fully awakening. For example, when we are sleeping, our friends like to wake us up. So we know that first touch we still not know. Second touch still shaking the whole body. We know that our friend not fully awakened, correct? So we have to do something that they can fully awake. How can we know that fully awake? You have to see that reaction. Sometimes I talk to someone. This morning, after wake up, you do this and you do that. And he looked at me. So you listen to me? You understand what I say? Yeah. I know that he's not awake up yet. So I have to do something to make sure that his eyes bite and have some response. Then know that, okay, message go through. Same thing. Consciousness that have realization. It's just first realization. It depends on that conditions to make the realization happen. So when condition change, the conscious miss seeing the truth. For example, calmness of mind that we practice in order to stay focused. If I compare why we have telescope in order to see the little thing, correct? And little, when we say what telescope, say focus point, we can see only one cell. Because if there are millions of cells multiply changing, it's too blurry. So we focus only one, so the message is clear, and that imply all the other will be like this. In the same manner, we practice samadhi, calmness, in order to narrow our window of consciousness to be small. So when one thing change, it is big thing, and message is clear. But if this narrow window of consciousness of samadhi distracted by thoughts, by other things, so we cannot focus. The mind is not calm. Then the message is not clear again. So we can see that in the beginning, the realization is still on and off. on and off, because it's not perfect yet. But eventually, when it comes to the peak, the highest one, the realization will be there forever. It never go down again. So the level of enlightenment in Buddhist teachings compared to before. First, we call stream enterer Sodaban, first realization that shock the consciousness and change the way the attitude consciousness immediately. Sodaban as a noble person, the first level of enlightenment. The second high level, because they keep on practicing, maintain that level, maintain up until the highest level. So four levels of enlightenment still have four levels of difficulties. First level of enlightenment still have a lot of attachment, a lot of expectation, but less than before. The high level, less than the first level. Until go to the top, then no more expectation and never go down again. And that is how Buddhist teaching acknowledge that the full enlightenment, as in Pali they call Arahant, the full enlightenment, and Nirvana, the complete end of unhappiness, and it never goes down to be unhappy again. So we call the end of Samsara, because it not come back again. Otherwise it still repeat, circle. But with full awakening, full wisdom, it not come back. Mm-hmm. Yes?
I think building on Eva's question, what some people ask me, and I don't know how to answer, is that in Buddhism we always say that everything is impermanent. But then what you just said sort of sounds like you're saying that enlightenment is permanent. Mm. So how does that
good. In English, sometimes we talk so superficially that things are impermanent. But actually, sankhara, conditional things, anicca. Conditional, this is in bracket. Anicca means impermanent. You talk things are impermanent, things are impermanent. But if to be precisely conditional things. So in that case, there are two things, conditional and unconditional. So in Pali language, we use the word conditional as sankhara. 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 Sankhara, conditional things. Sankhara means things that can't happen alone. Like water, H2O, in order to be water. If you lack one hydrogen atom, it can't be water. So when things that happen because of certain conditions, that things are impermanent. But if things that happen without any condition, it is permanent. And what in this world, what is permanent in Buddhist idea? We call inner peace, Nirvana. Because inner peace, we don't need any conditions. Inner peace is here. But unhappiness is conditional. Unhappiness never be here forever. It's conditional. But Nirvana, the end of unhappiness, is unconditional. It's here already. So in general we say things are impermanent, but to be very precise, conditional things are impermanent. Then we need to ask, what is conditional, what is unconditional? Mm-hmm. So we have to have some special class to talk about that. Correct. Until we become sure, background, everyone know when the monk say things are impermanent, it means conditional thing. When I talk like that, assume that people know, but not everyone know. So that's why in Pali language, you make it really clear. Sankhara anicca, conditional things, impermanent. Sabbe sankhara anicca, all conditional things are impermanent. Sabbe dhamma anatta. Now, another word, anatta, not self. The word not self is really important, is quite interesting. Unconditional and conditional thing. Anatta means selfless nature, egolessness, oneness of self, no ownership on oneself. Now, what is dipling? Anicca impermanent, only conditional thing. If things are unconditional, it is permanent. But when we talk about things that beyond direct control, it means both inner peace and unhappiness are beyond their control. That means inner peace not belong to anybody. It's not under our direct control. It's permanent, but never listen to anybody as well. We can't say my nirvana, my enlightenment. It's just enlightenment. It's just inner peace. It's quite interesting when people achieve that liberation or inner peace, they become selflessness 100%. Because they can't see that which one can claim as I, me, mine. And it go opposite direction. That when there is no I, no me, no by, 100%, that is nirvana. Or let's say no attachment, zero attachment, zero expectation, equal to nirvana or inner peace. It's just food for thought. Okay, it's just theory. And the word anatta or selflessness or non-self cannot be comprehended in the lecture room. That is a good news. You have to go under the trees. Again, in the garden. It's only meditation. It's only explained inside here. We understand that word. Because 30 years of being in Australia, a lot of questions answered about anatta, 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 nonsense, nonsense, never be satisfied. And we know that 100% that it's just intellectual understanding cannot get to it. But we need to understand the guideline, then we need to practice it. Yes?
Sorry, just final clarifying. So anatta is non-self or selflessness. Anicca is impermanence. What about sunyata?
Sunyata is the same name as anatta.
Oh.
Sunyata means emptiness, voidness, emptiness of self, voidness of self, emptiness. Sometimes when we talk about this, some people take it literally and be really upset. Yeah, when there are many retreats when we say about sunyata means voidness. You mean that what we try to practice for the whole 3 days effort, mindfulness is void? People misunderstood in that direction. Sunyata means voidness of attachment, let's say. Voidness of that expectation. You see, and That means gone blank, gone broke. We said if we don't have perfect wisdom, we never have sunyata. Impossible. If we don't have that realization, don't expect selflessness. If we don't have wisdom, don't expect selflessness. If in opposite direction, if people are selfish, don't expect wisdom. If people have wisdom, you can expect selflessness. But if people are selfish, don't expect right understanding, because it goes opposite direction. So in order to gain that inner peace, people must have perfect understanding in life.
The three that Katie mentioned, then how come if anatta and sunyata are similar, how come there's a distinction of three instead of two?
Between?
The difference between anatta and sunyata, if like they say there are three marks of existence.
Three what?
Marks of existence.
Three marks. Universal characteristics, let's say, correct?
Yeah.
Okay, anicchang, tukhang, anatta, yep. The word sunyata is the Sanskrit language, even though in Pali, they use in Pali, but not that popular as in Sanskrit language. And they talk the same thing of the word anatta, but look into another direction. In Pali, we heard a lot about anicchang, tukhang, anatta. But you're surprised when you heard Tibetan Sutra. We talk about sunyata, sunyata. Or in Mahayana tradition, you heard about sunyata. Have you heard about anatta? I know only that sing kong, sing hao, kong. Kong, what does it mean?
Sunyata.
Sunyata. See? That is look into another dimension. It's anatta, because thing never listen to us. That means no us. No I, no me, no my. If I, me, my exist, they should listen. So, let's say, oneness of I, me, my. It's the same meaning. And another word, Pali will use the word ta-ta-ta. Tathāta means like the Buddha, they call in the Buddhist chanting book called Tathākata, Tathākata. Tathāta means the way things are. Another word is called Ittappacayata. Ittappacayata means things follow conditions and factors. Another word that called Attammayata. You want more words? All these words point into the same direction of things beyond direct control. No direct control, no ownership. But words are available for different levels, different kinds, different background of people. Yes? Any other question? So in conclusion, rejoice with everybody. Now, we're looking into life as a sand dune. Problems in life is like a dry land. It's swallowing the green land. The dryness of life is swallowing our creative life. The sand, the dryness of anxiety, fear, worry is covering the peaceful, happy part in our life. So we know that it's not nice, it's not pleasant. We call tukha unhappiness. And we're going to hold a very positive attitude. We look at them with very positive dimension. Instead of shooting them, put a fence, then they don't come. We're going to be very happy, smiling, and plant the garden. Plant a garden with happiness, with loving kindness, self-discipline, meditation, calmness, and wisdom. So we look around instead of complaining, poor me, poor me, why, poor me, exam coming, poor me. I have to look after university member, poor me. I have to organize English Dhamma talk, poor me. Chinese English Dhamma talk and many other activities, poor me. But we look that, oh, the difficulties is sand dune. We're going to plant that loving kindness. We're going to plant that discipline. And we're going to breathe in and out every day to produce kindness and realization, impermanence, impermanence. So we plant a big forest to stop the sand dune. And amazingly, we look into the garden, the tree grows and more green. We're happier, correct? And the sand dune stop, but we have big forest and smile. Opposite to stop the sand using the gun, using the bomb, and look back, see the big hole of the bomb, can see the machine gun right around. Not that pleasant. So let us look into difficulties in life as another direction. We not to attack stress, not attack worry, anxiety, but we do opposite direction of growing something really beautiful, because it's rewarding. Every time we think of loving kindness, we're happy with our own generosity. Every time we think that we can hold ourselves and not talk bad against or exchange the bad language, we feel really happy ourselves. Every time we can be mindful of the breath, we feel really delightful. Every time consciousness see the truth, that is liberation. So against the conquering these enemies of the mind, it becomes the happy job. Let's say that we don't conquer anything, let us plant a garden. The whole life is about planting the garden. Study university is to plant the garden of life. Okay, thank you.